to you here. Okay. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good.
Okay. My name's Luke. For those of you who don't know my face, I've been around for a while, like Perkle said. One of the things I've learned through my Christian walk is that you never really stop learning the basics. A much more foolish freshman, Luke, would have told you that he had it all figured out with his theology classes and his biblical studies, that, you know, I thought I had Christianity down coming into college. Through a lot of stubbornness and a lot of difficulty, I learned that there's just a lot of basics about Christianity that I keep on rehashing and coming back to. One of those basics is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the topic of endurance. Now, I know many of you know about it and probably have experienced it, and the Bible has a ton to say about it. So we're going to try to do our best to dig the biggest hole into this topic we can with our time this morning. I'll do my best to not get lost in the sauce because there's just so much to talk about. But guys, this is a life lesson. Be prepared to keep practicing this, keep relearning this. It's something I keep learning myself. And I'll tell you what, I'm not an expert here. I'm so bad at endurance. Everyone knows me, they know that I hate running. Running is just terrible, pure endurance sport. But the same thing applies to spirituality, man. Endurance is tough. So don't herald me as some sage of endurance. As many have said before me, I'm just another beggar pointing you all to where the bread is. So with that in mind, let's first pray. Let's ask God to bless our time together, and we'll dive in. God, you are so good to us. God, we're thankful for your word. God, we just pray this morning that you speak to our hearts, that my words would be forgotten, but that your words would remain. God, speak to our hearts. Help us see more of you this morning and what we're talking about. Help me speak well. Use me as a mouthpiece. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I like to start out with asking ourselves, what are we talking about when it comes to endurance? Semantics can be a really thick jungle to get tangled up in, so we want to lay a foundation of what we're talking about. And as Ben so wisely taught us last week, we start with Google. Google tells us that endurance is the fact or power of enduring or suffering patiently an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Now, I think that's a pretty hefty definition, and it seems to cover all the bases, but I'm not talking about all kinds of endurance here. A lot of you guys know about sports endurance, you know, the endurance of fighting through every quarter and every inning for the win. I'm sure a lot of you know the endurance of getting a college degree, long nights of studying, endless pages of homework, the endurance of listening to a long lecture early in the morning with, like, barely any coffee in your system and just fighting to stay awake. Some of you may be experiencing that right now. But no, the endurance I'm talking about is deeper than that. And honestly, that's kind of a lot harder to define. It's what some people call the dark night of the soul, the valley of the shadow of death. It's a deeper, harder kind of endurance, enduring something that pangs the soul. For example, dealing with your own sin and humanity. That's a tough one. It's really easy to say that you're forgiven and free, because that's true. We are forgiven and free. But there can be times when you don't feel free, when you still feel trapped and enchained because you still crawl back to the sin you were born in. Another example is loss, the loss of life, the loss of a friend, the inexplicable pain of separation. Depression is another one, the loss of interest, feelings of separation and disconnection, isolation. Guys, the list can go on and on, and if I did keep going on, I'm sure all of us would find something to relate to, something that pangs the soul, something that shakes our foundation. The difference between these examples and the previous is that they're a lot deeper. These kind of things tend to shake our foundation. You know, a rainstorm is pretty easy to endure for a night. All you do is close the windows, close the doors, hopefully, and the next morning everything's fine. It doesn't even seem to last that long. But an earthquake, much, much harder to endure, even just for a night. Closing your windows and closing your doors isn't going to help so much. And in an earthquake, a minute can seem like an hour. Seconds can seem like days. Endurance of an earthquake is kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about the earthquakes in our lives, things that shake us to our core. Things kind of just got really real, real fast. I know we kind of got down to a real deep part. And honestly, it sounds a little dark too, which kind of, to me, sounds odd for a Christian life when I think about it. Sometimes I get the impression that Christians are not supposed to struggle like this, right? I mean, if we have our great hope that is in Christ, and it is a great hope, how can we despair in our hardships? If our fate is sealed with Christ, if our lives have been bought by the blood, and our debt been paid, and our sin erased, and our chains broken, how can we despair the things we go through? But let's take a quick look at the Psalms. King David was described as a man after God's own heart, and although he had his faults and his Bathshebas, the Psalms are a very raw reflection of that, a man after God's own heart. And if that's true, then look with me at Psalm 22, starting in verse 11. Be not far off from me, for trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open their wide mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like broken clay, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my feet, and I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. My heart is wax. My bones are unknit. How many of you have felt like that before? So shaken that a breath could topple you over. You ever felt like all your strength is nothing, dried up and shriveled? Sometimes I get the impression that this kind of struggle is a sign of weak faith. But I think that David makes it clear here that even the strongest of followers of Christ will go through hard times, and we will have to endure. If that's not enough, Christ did the very same thing. Even on the cross, he cried, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" The very Son of God. He endured through tears and pain to the end. And practically every other biblical figure has done the same. Joseph in slavery, the Israelites in the desert for 40 years, and then in captivity after that, and then the long waiting for Christ to come. Paul talks many times of his struggles and his endurance in the Old Testament. And you know, all these figures are faced with these hard times, and they face it with endurance. It's something that every Christian is called to. At some point in any one of my struggles, I usually wind up asking the question, why? Why am I going through this? What am I supposed to learn through this? God, what are you trying to teach me? Or why is this even happening? I've been asking lately, you know, why does God love endurance in the first place? What's the point of it? Well, I think the answer is pretty simple in the scriptures. We clearly get something good and valuable out of endurance. Let's open up a few passages here. We'll start with Romans 5, starting in verse 3 through 5. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance, endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Do you understand how massively important hope is? Sometimes I just tend to forget that that is the core of our belief. You know, our hope is in Christ. You know, if we didn't have Christ, we wouldn't have anything to hope in. Life would be pretty pointless. But my gosh, if you could sell hope in a bottle, you would be rich so fast. There are people in this world dying for a bit of hope right now. I'd even be willing to bet that there is quite a number of people in this room who are dying for a bit of hope as well. Maybe not in this moment, but maybe in your sickness, maybe in your sin, maybe in your job or in your family struggles, or maybe even in your walk with God. You may be dying for just a little bit of hope. Scripture promises that it's coming. That's what endurance is for, to produce that. Let's jump over again to James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. I've honestly been guilty of glossing over this verse before, because I've not really believed what it promises. To be lacking nothing. I would have told you before that that's not possible until we get to heaven. You know, I've had this belief that I can't be fully satisfied on this earth. This earth, you know, kind of sucks, We've got pain, we've got sin we deal with, broken relationships. There's no way that I'm going to find peace and contentment completely lacking nothing on this earth. But in the context of this verse and the chapter as a whole, it doesn't mention anything about waiting till heaven to get this, which leads me to believe that it's possible to be mature and complete and be lacking nothing here on earth. This is what Paul alludes to in Philippians 4. He says in verse 11, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." You see, Paul's talking about this, that he has this ability to be content, to be complete, even amidst his struggles. You know, he was in prison. He suffered so much, and yet he can claim to be content in all that he has. It seems to me from this verse, however, that this is not something that we just get. This is something that is learned. This is a process. It's not something that is easily obtained. And honestly, that's where I struggle the most, letting endurance have its full effect. See, for me, it is a lot easier to consider trials great joy when that trial only lasts for like a day, maybe even a week. But I find often in the Christian life that we are not usually met with daily challenges that we complete with either victory or failure and then move on to the next one the next day. It has been my experience, rather, that the challenges and struggles we face are enduring. They take their time. It's like holding a weight out in front of you. Like if you grab like a 5-pound weight, nothing that heavy, kind of wimpy, you hold it out there and it's not that heavy. You might think you can even go up to a 10-pound weight or a 25-pound weight. But hold it there for about 5 minutes and it starts to get pretty tough. You know, bump that up to 30 minutes and I would be up here sweating trying to hold 5 pounds for 30 minutes. That's kind of how endurance is. These problems are lasting and they're enduring. And sometimes we lose hope and lose faith because they're taking their time. But they're taking their time for a reason. You know, what I really loved about college was that there was a finish line to reach. You know, college is tough, no doubt, but there's an end to the semester. There's an end to the year. You have your test dates, you have your due dates, and you can see the finish line out in front of you. The hardest part about endurance sometimes is you don't get to see that finish line all the time. Sometimes you don't even see things getting better. Sometimes it feels like things are getting worse. Hope and character are not so easily forged in the heart of man. Sometimes it takes the Lord using these enduring seasons to produce fruit in our lives. So if endurance is so dang hard and the prize is so valuable, what is the key to endurance? How in the world are we to overcome the mountain of trials in the Christian life? Well, before we dive into this, let's at least have a look at what it is not. The key to endurance is not self-performance at all. Endurance is not proving how strong and capable you are before the Lord, because A, he knows exactly how strong you are, and B, he knows we're not that strong. We're frankly not. Take a look at any time man has tried to prove himself before God in the scriptures. Has it ever worked? The Pharisees tried to be righteous, but that didn't help them. Even the sacrificial system proved to be ineffective against sin. But even regardless if God is impressed with us or not, the key is not saying to yourself, I can do this, I can get through this, I am strong, I'm better than this, I've been raised this way, because that certainly entirely misses the point. The point of endurance is actually quite the opposite, the point being that I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need God. I need strength from somewhere else because mine is gone. I'm going to be pretty risky here and say that the key to endurance is also not more faith. And what I mean by that is not a quid pro quo kind of faith. What does that mean? That means I have more faith, therefore God gives me more stuff, therefore he solves my problems and makes me happy. I have more faith and therefore God treats me better. That is not how it works at all. I think it is a wicked and I think it is a foolish doctrine that teaches that your circumstance is based on the results of your faith. I've heard it said before that the key to getting out of a crappy situation is more faith. Speak life into your situation. Tell God to move your mountains. If they aren't moving, then it's simply because you don't have faith. That is so wrong. David in the Psalms, when he is crying and pleading about being in the valley of the shadow of death, what's his comfort? It is not that God pulls him out of the shadow of death. It is not that God tears down his mountains. It is that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. That is the point. Many a Christian has been led to despair by being fooled into thinking that their circumstance is an indication of their faith. If that were true, the book of Job would not exist. Take a look at his life. He was heralded by God himself as a man of perfect integrity, who fears God and turns away from evil. And yet his life was pretty miserable. He had a lot, but his family was taken from him, along with his health and his wealth. And even his friends told him to curse God and die. But he did not. He continued to have a believing faith in our God. Let me make the distinction here. I believe faith is absolutely necessary to endure. There's a rock that we hold on to. That rock is the Lord. We have to have faith in him. But it is not the amount of our faith that is going to change our circumstance or make our lives materially better. Our circumstance is not an indication of our faith, nor does the level of our faith determine our outcome. That is a quid pro quo type of faith, and that's not how God operates. The key to endurance is not your performance. The key to endurance is not proving to God how much faith you have. Neither of those will help you because those are both focused on the self, on how we can help our situations, how we can prove ourselves before the Lord. And frankly, we're helpless to help ourselves. No, what matters in the race of endurance is our focus. Not being on ourselves or any other means, but on the Father that holds us. Do we doubt God's hand in our lives? Or do we simply look elsewhere and forget that he is there alongside us? I'm afraid to admit that I am wholeheartedly guilty of that. Of looking to other things for my hope, for my security, to get me through hard times, but it is only the Lord. The key to, and I would even argue the point of endurance, is to be focused on the cross, saying, I can't do this, but regardless of my outcome, I have Jesus. Take a look at the story of Joseph in Genesis with me. In chapter 37, he has this amazing dream about what the Lord is going to do in his life. What happens right after that? Boom, sold into slavery. Slavery for 11 years. Through those years, he starts rising through the ranks. He's a good servant. The Lord is helping him prosper in that. And then, boom, thrown into jail, in prison, for something he didn't do, a crime he did not commit. Do you think in those 13 years, after receiving a dream of what the Lord is going to do in his life, 13 years of being in prison, enduring the hardships in a foreign country he never knew, do you think at all during that time he doubted? He wondered, why am I going through this, God? What are you doing? I look back on this story and think to myself, yeah, but God was with him the whole time. It even says that he caused him to prosper in all that he did as a slave. But do you think he knew that? Do you think he was always aware of that? Or did he too have those dark nights of the soul, those hard times? Do you think that during that time of slavery, that the bondage that God put him in was actually working in his heart to lean on him through his hardship? Scripture doesn't say one way or the other, but I like to think that's a strong possibility. Sorry, I just skipped a page. Wow. Okay. In the end, Joseph was freed from slavery. David was brought out of the pit, and Job was restored. Things seemed to turn out pretty hunky-dory for these guys. So you may be wondering what I've spent many nights wondering. Where's my happy ending? When is the ending? When will I be free from whatever trouble I'm enduring? A lot of times we don't get answers to those questions. But I think we need to be asking a different question instead. What are we enduring for? What's the end goal? In my life, I find myself wanting to go back. I want to go back to life before the pain, before the struggle, before the knowledge of my brokenness. I honestly want to go back to a younger, more foolish innocence that I used to have. I want to go back to being confident in myself, in my strength, because I was comfortable. I want to go back to thinking I'm strong on my own. But if I did, I would be less dependent on the strength of the Lord. and I wouldn't know it. I actually think that our main goal should not be freedom from our struggles. I don't think our goal should even be fighting for the blessing at the end of our struggles. What we need to be fighting for in endurance and in our struggles is a slavery and a clinging to Christ. Here's why. At the end of the day, what does endurance through hard times do? It shows us our weakness. Nothing makes you feel weaker than struggling to hold up that 5-pound weight after 30 minutes. And our endurance through hard times is the same way. It breaks us down. A lot of times, it also shows us our hopelessness. When financial security is lost, when your body breaks, when strength fails only to not return, there's not much left to hope in. The solid grounds that we often put our hopes in begin to shake and crumble, and it begins to seem like we have no hope. Endurance strips those away. The good news is that when your hope and other things are stripped away, it points us to the only hope that really matters, our hope in Christ. The main goal of endurance and hardship is to put our hope from our wicked, stubborn hearts in Christ. Take a look at the story of Lazarus, starting in John 11:3. The sisters, that being Lazarus' sisters, said to him, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness will not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place he was. Now the story goes on to tell of Jesus coming and raising Lazarus from the dead. But get this. In verse 5, he says, "Now Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So, because of that, Jesus stayed where he was for 2 more days and let him die." That doesn't make sense to me at first, but because he loved them, he let them suffer. Because he loved them all so much, he let them suffer the death of their brother. And he even suffered himself. It says Jesus wept. But he let them suffer in the death of their brother so that they could witness the glory of God through it, because he loved them. Their suffering led to the refocusing on and the witnessing of God's glory. Let's take a look at another story just a few chapters before in John 9, the story of the blind man. His disciples ask him, "Who sinned, the man or the parents, causing this man to suffer the blindness?" Jesus says neither. He says that this man is suffering this blindness so that the work of God might be displayed in him. His suffering and endurance is for the sake of displaying the works of God in his life. That is the point of endurance. Not to prove how strong we are, or how great our faith is, or how secure we are, but how great God is. And with our eyes on him, we can endure anything. That's the point of hard times. You can't prove yourself to God. He already knows how weak you are, and he is there to work in your weakness. Endurance strips away everything else you hope in, whether it's your job, whether it's your family, whether it's your money. You know, if I lose all my money, that's going to suck, but I still have Christ. If I lose my family, that's going to suck, but I have Christ. I often look for the solution in these times of endurance of, "Hey, God, where's the answer? Where's the resolution? How are things going to get better?" And sometimes they don't. Sometimes loved ones die. Sometimes relationships are broken. And it's hard to trust in a God that allows that and allows suffering to continue. And sometimes we don't have an answer for why he allows suffering to continue. But I think it's this, that our eyes would be drawn away from what we are putting our hope in and what we are trusting in, and that our hearts would slowly and painfully be turned to focus on our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because that is the only thing that will endure. That is the only thing that will save us. I need to wrap this up here.
Keep going.
I'm just kind of going to give a quick synopsis of, you know, what we've been talking about here. We're all called to endurance. It's clear throughout the whole Christian life, we're going to face hard times. And sometimes we won't have a solution to those hard times. But there's a lot to be gained from endurance. A hope and a proven character, one that falls at the feet of Jesus. The key is not about you. The key is not about how strong you are. The key is not how great your faith is, at least in a works kind of way. The key is your focus and your faith in the one true hope, your hope in the Lord. And in the end, that is the whole point of endurance. It is not to show you how strong you are. It is to show you how strong he is. It is not to give you a hope in the resolution. It is to give you a hope in the resolver to say that even if I don't find freedom, even if I don't get healed, even if I still struggle in sin, even if I still run back, I hope in Christ. Not that he will solve my problems, but that he will become ever greater than my problems and more important than my problems. That he would become the treasure of my life, and that all my struggles in life would become unworthy of comparing to the joy of knowing and being with God for the rest of eternity. Wow, sorry. Band can go ahead and come back up. In the end, we find that endurance for the Christian is not just about withstanding hard times. It is not about proving yourself. It is not about flexing your strength or being stronger. It is about being weak. Rather, endurance is about the slow, the painful turning of the heart to look to the cross for life and to the Savior for strength in the times that put our faith to the test as the last cord to fall on. And man, if you don't have that, there's so many people to talk to. Talk to me, talk to Grant, talk to anybody. That is our great hope. Without the hope of Christ, without the hope of the gospel, we don't have anything to cling to. It is a hard life, many of you know. Some have it better, some have it worse, but that's not the point. The point is that we turn our hearts and we turn our minds to look to Jesus for our hope and our salvation. And that, honestly, is our biggest problem. That is our biggest struggle to endure, the struggle of sin. Without Christ, we are dirty and we are broken before him. And there's a price to be paid. But thank God that he has sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. That is our hope. That even though we struggle with hard times, we struggle with health, we struggle with finances, my hope is in Jesus. So that at the end of the day, if I lose everything, if I lose it all, I cling to the cross. That is my hope. And that's what I encourage you all to hope in. If you don't, talk to me. If you're a believing Christian, there have been times in my life where I haven't hoped in that. Talk to me, talk to Grant. It's the only thing to hope in this life. Everything else will strip away. Everything else will fade away. Our lives are but a breath. But the one thing that remains is the Lord and our hope in him. So let's pray real quick. God, you are so good. God, we thank you for the hope in Jesus. God, we thank you for the grace that has been bought for us. God, that we can be free from our sins. And not just free from our sins, but God, that we can be with you, that we can be with our Creator. And God, that we can not just be free, but we can have life, an abundant life. God, I pray that you speak that to our hearts. God, I pray that you remind us of that in our hard times and in our dark times. God, that despite our circumstances, despite our loss, despite our pain, God, that we have you. God, I pray you turn our hearts to gaze upon you, behold the glory of your Son. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.